The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the Gao Studios in Houston, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
Matt Peterson in for Glenn with you until 9 o'clock Central Time. Delighted to be here. Should be a great show. We have a packed show lined up, but we also want to have your call, so give us a call here at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. With you till 9 o'clock here on Soccer Matters. Glenn on the East Coast preparing for Princeton versus Rutgers men's soccer. And delighted to fill in tonight. We'll have Glenn calling in from New York later on tonight. Brian Dunsett does commentary for Fox Sports, Real Salt Lake, and a great host of Counterattack on Sirius XM FC Channel 85. Also Steve Davis, radio and writing for FC Dallas, longtime soccer writer. We'll get his thoughts on the transfer window and more. We'll also have Tony DiCicco, part of the 1999 U.S. Women's National Team, was the head coach as they won the World Cup. And Glenn spoke with him earlier this week in Austin and gets his perspective on the transition from World Cup champions into an Olympic year where the roster must be cut down. Big show tonight. Brian Dunsith, Steve Davis, Glenn Davis, Tony DiCicco, and your call. So get in line. Our producer tonight, Michael Carroll, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. A busy time in the soccer world. Is it ever not a busy time? The transfer window closed today. And the thing that stole the headlines was David De Gea not going to Real Madrid. The Spanish number one not going to Spain's biggest club. He'll be at Manchester United, at least through the rest of the fall before the January window opens up. And that really was sort of the drama, but there was also a lot of deals that went down. Some teams got better, other teams did not, including Arsenal, Manchester City, the big spenders, over $200 million, including Kevin De Bruyne, where they spent $80 million on the Belgian midfielder out of the Bundesliga. Chelsea landed Pedro earlier in the week, along with Falcao and Asmir Begovic. Manchester United, they kind of spread the love around. Memphis Depay, Romero, Darmian, among others, Bastian Schweinsteiger. But today wasn't the day for the big names. There was no big names moving. But what were your thoughts on it? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Dynamo got a big win on Saturday against second-place team in the West, Vancouver Whitecaps FC. They are three back of the final playoff spot shared by Seattle. And the San Jose Earthquakes, seven games to go. Dynamo off this weekend for the FIFA dates, and they'll be back in action a week from Saturday at BBVA Compass Stadium, September 12th, against Real Salt Lake. We talk with Brian Dunseth in a bit about Real Salt Lake, about their season, about a lot of things happening in MLS. And we want to talk with you about Argentina against Bolivia. That is 3 days from now. It's Friday night at BBVA Compass Stadium. A few tickets still available. That game will sell out. The entire team is coming, including Lionel Messi. They've been practicing at the Dynamo Practice Facility at Houston Sports Park down south on 288. And, yeah, a big moment for the city. Argentina, Bolivia in the 22,000-seat BBVA Compass Stadium. And I understand they've been very happy with the facility. So they've been all over the world, played in all the big soccer countries, and they've had very positive remarks about the Dynamo training facility, the fields, all that. And a good moment yesterday, Carly Lloyd exchanging autographs with Lionel Messi and pictures of the opposite number 10s. So a great moment there for Carly Lloyd and for the Houston Dash and for a U.S. women's national team. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. How did your team do in the transfer window? Did they do enough? Are they now title contenders? I think Manchester City is the clear favorite now. Chelsea is already 8 points off the pace. Manchester City went all in. Big-time signings. A lot of attacking talents. We'll see how it plays out. Did Manchester United do enough to stay in the top four? A lot of people wonder what Arsenal did. No attacking talent. Their one signing was Peter Cech. Not one outfield player. Liverpool was very quiet. We'll see. What about the Spanish teams? I mean, I find it kind of ironic. Real Madrid is star-studded, but you know, all their transfer talk hinged on a goalkeeper, David De Gea, who they wanted a long time. It's not often a goalkeeper is the focus of a big club in their transfer takings. What were your makings of it? 713-780-3776. What about Javier Chicharito Hernandez? He is off to Bayer Leverkusen. I think a great move for both sides. He'll be a regular player, you would think. He'll be almost a sure thing starter, at least at first. He'll be in the Champions League. He is not cup tied, despite playing in the early rounds of Manchester United and qualifying over the last few weeks. And for Germany and Bayer Leverkusen, they're going to have a lot more eyeballs watching on Fox Sports 1, buying jerseys. There's already tweets in Spanish from the Bayer Leverkusen account. You have the most marketable soccer player in North America playing at one of the bigger clubs in Germany, but it's not Bayern Munich. It's Bayer Leverkusen. So what did you take of that? If you're a Mexican national team fan, what do you think of Chicharito? I think many people thought he could have played at a higher club, but I think most thought this is about the right fit for him. Maybe not the elite of the elite, a team that's going to win the Champions League, but a team that is in the Champions League that's going to compete in the Bundesliga. Pep Guardiola earlier this week said he believes Bayer Leverkusen is the chief title challengers to Bayern Munich. So we shall see what happens. 713-780-3776 is the phone number. 713-780-3776. Let's talk about Liberty Kitchens, one of the best restaurants in Houston. Liberty Kitchen of the Heights and Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette on San Felipe near the Galleria. You will find award-winning chefs at both of these restaurants serving up the best in seafood and meats. I love the raw bar at Kitchen at Liberty Kitchen and the Oysterette, plus the smoked salmon at Liberty Kitchen in the Heights. Fresh fish, oysters, gumbo, right on down to amazing steaks and burgers. They're also serving breakfast on the weekends. It's an amazing dining experience. Liberty Kitchen and Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette. LibertyKitchen.com, LibertyKitchenOysterette.com. And Carl Eves, involved with the HFA, is a huge soccer fan, a great sponsor of Soccer Matters. In addition, Liberty Kitchen, 7-Up, Bud Light, Bar Munich and the Gorgeous Gale, Daspit Law Firm, and Amigo Energy, and keep this show on the air. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. You have the MLS season winding down. FIFA dates this weekend. Argentina, Bolivia at BBVA Compass Stadium on Friday. Tickets still available. How about Jamaica? Giles Barnes off of Jamaica, Dynamo midfielder. Jamaica's in a two-leg series with Nicaragua Friday, Tuesday. If they somehow lose that series to Nicaragua, they would be out of the World Cup 3 years before it will be staged, just a few months after their Gold Cup run of the final. If something happens, they'd be out. So they need to take care of business home and away with Nicaragua, and they would move on to the fourth round, which would be a total of 12 teams in groups of three. The U.S., of course, is already there, as is Mexico, as is Honduras, Panama, Costa Rica. The biggest countries in this round are probably Jamaica, Canada, Guatemala. Belize might sneak through. So it should be interesting, but Jamaica can't mess around. It's a very little margin for error. Two-leg series. If they don't get it done, they will not move on to the next round. But I'm confident in Giles, and I think he showed very well on Saturday night in the win against Vancouver. Looked much better, much healthier than against Vancouver as the Dynamo won 2-0. 713-780-3776. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll take some calls with you till 9 o'clock, talking all things soccer, talking about the transfer window, MLS, Mexico national team, U.S. national team. U.S. is going to play Peru and Brazil beginning this Friday. Of course, we're about 6 weeks away from the showdown in Pasadena, USA, Mexico. I love the ticket allotment, 30% for each fan base. Should be a great atmosphere at the Rose Bowl, over 90,000. Matt Peterson in for Glenn Davis. We're talking soccer here on Soccer Matters. And we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Matt Peterson in for Glenn with you till 9 o'clock. The Daspit Law Firm is working for you 24-7. A Houston personal injury attorney handles personal injury cases from plant and refinery accidents, medical injury, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler accidents, right down to boat and car accidents, and wrongful death cases. Daspitlaw.com. Or call 713-364-0915, DaspitLaw.com. With the Daspit Law Firm, you can rest more assured in times of stress. Depending on the circumstances of your accident, that you have a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right to compensation. Contact the Daspit Law Firm, supporters of the game of soccer, 713-360-0915, or toll-free 888-273-1045, both in English and Spanish. Soccer Matters. Thanks. The Daspit Law Firm. Let's go to the phones. Dylan, you are on Soccer Matters.
Hey, Glenn. Bless. How are you doing?
Doing great. Matt in for Glenn, but great to have you, Dylan.
That's what's up. Well, I want to give you a little story. My first team ever was Argentina with Diego Maradona and Dee Brown and them in the World Cup in Mexico. That's the first time I ever saw soccer on TV. And I've fallen in love with that guy and Argentina from ever since. So I just want to give a shout-out for them being in Houston and big win for Dynamos over this weekend. We need some more of that.
Yeah, that's great. What are you most excited about Argentina coming to town, and what was your biggest takeaway from the Dynamo win?
Well, my biggest thing is Dynamo, they got to win games and keep winning, you know, to get in the playoffs so we could come to Bavia Compass and support them in the playoffs. And for Argentina, my Aguero, man, he's off the chain. He's leading goal scorer in the EPL. He started off the season real hot. He could have had like 6 goals already in the EPL, so I'm excited to see that. And Messi, you know, he's a musician with the ball. And we got Di Mari, so it should be a good game against Bolivia. You got any tickets for us?
I don't have any. I wish I had a few to give away. Maybe Glenn, if you contact Glenn on Twitter, he might be able to wiggle something for you, but Glenn would probably have better access than I would.
Okay, cool. But, you know, the show is great, and I just want to say, man, keep up the good work. I know Glenn probably not in right now, but I just want to say, man, it's a blessing to have Soccer Matter on radio.
It's callers like you to keep it going. Thanks so much, Dylan. All right, well, thanks to Dylan. We still want to take your call, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We recorded this earlier with Glenn talking all types of soccer. So let's air this interview for the first time. And we still have time to take your call, 713-780-3776. Here is me with Glenn Davis earlier. Glenn, let's start with the Dynamo and a big 2-0 win. Vancouver reduced to 9 men, but the Dynamo still got the job done. Any impressions on that game?
Yeah, I think there's a lot. First off, Matt, thanks for hosting the program. You step in beautifully every time. I really appreciate you. you're taking charge here tonight. Yeah, I thought, listen, with the gap and the break the Dynamo have here coming up, I think it was essential to win this game. I think it could have been very deflating because I'm sure the Dynamo, after the three on the road, two on the artificial surface, one at altitude, really felt they should have come out of there with a minimum of 4 points, especially with a 2-0 lead in Portland. So my impressions of this night against Vancouver, you know, look, it was mission accomplished. I thought the Dynamo defended well for the most part against the pace of Maddox and Fakuta Mane. I think the one thing that vividly really jumps out is just how important Ricardo Clark is to this team in midfield. And we all know that the starting point of winning games in Major League Soccer is having a good, strong midfield. And Ricardo Clark, I think, head and shoulders in the middle of the park this year, is the guy that the Dynamo have got to really look to right now.
You know, Giles Barnes on his day can have a big night. Dynamo obviously counting the goal scorer to Will Bruin, and obviously, hopefully soon from Kubo Torres. But do you think that week in, week out, pound for pound, Ricardo Clark's the most important player on the team?
Well, I don't think there's any question. When he performs well, so does the team. And I'm sure the results and the analytics will back that up as well. I think it's a real measure of consistency that he brings. And I think this is what sometimes is lost upon some young players in Major League Soccer and young players in general, is that, you know, it's great to have one game, great to make a couple of good plays, but at the end of the year, your body, your work is based on consistency and delivering and giving to your coach that effort and that sort of game each and every week that he expects from you. So we all know how important the territorially the middle of the field is. It's the platform for everything going forward. It's the protection for your back four. So yes, and to go back to your previous question, Giles Barnes had that thrust and that burst of energy that we haven't seen since prior to his leaving to the Copa America with Jamaica.
Glenn Davis, our guest. I love the lineup on Saturday, Glenn. Six basically attacking-minded players. You could call Ricardo Clark a defensive midfielder, but the way he's played this year, I would not classify him that way. Alex Lima is more of a technical player, I think, than just a pure ball winner like Luis Garrido. So no two defensive midfielders. You had two forwards up front. And I think you had Giles Barnes on the wing, had one of his best games in a long time. So I think it looked beautiful on the team sheet. And from an attacking perspective, it got six of your better attacking players on the field.
Yeah, and I think that's what Owen Coyle had promised. I think that's where he ultimately wanted to get. You know, things happen at different rates sometimes. I think there was a clear message sent by the changes in midfield that what happened in Colorado wasn't good enough. And that's called competition. This is good for the team. It's healthy. You know, if the Dynamo get into the playoffs again, I think it's a major overachievement. But I think what's most important, they finish out the season here, producing a lot of good games here at home, make that push, make that attempt to get into the playoffs, but they finish the season out positive so that when we all examine this and pick it apart, as we do as people on the outside, that we can say, wow, there's been a lot of progress made here in year one with a ton of change made to this organization. I don't think there's any question.
Glenn, of course, this weekend the Dynamo off, but the stadium will be busy. Ed Sheeran on Thursday, TSU football on Saturday, and probably the marquee event of the three. Argentina comes to town against Bolivia, currently number one in the world. They just won Copa America. Lionel Messi, you may have heard of him, is the headliner, and there's so many in the supporting cast. You know, yeah. You came to town at about 22. You played professional soccer in the city. You've been here through the ups and downs. What does this mean to you, and what does it mean, you think, for the city and all of the soccer supporters to have Argentina in BBVA Compass Stadium Friday night?
Yeah, I think it's remarkable. First of all, Ed Sheeran, who? And who's the other one? I mean, come on. Messi's here. It's Argentina. It's Messi mania. Come on. We're not even talking about the other two events going on down there. I think it's magnificent. Look, when you've got a team of Argentina with the history they have in the game and the two World Cups won in you know, 1978 winning it at home and just 86. It's just remarkable to see that so identifiable blue and white jersey. You think of all the players down through their history, you know, Maradona, Batistuta. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. And to think that they're playing at BBVA Compass Stadium in an intimate atmosphere, in a place that is tight, where you're going to be up close and personal to it. It's remarkable. It's a remarkable opportunity. Who knows if it ever comes again? You know, the day it went on sale, I physically went and bought two tickets. I mean, because I just wanted to know that I had those tickets in my hand and that I would be able to be in that building for Argentina and Bolivia. And, yeah, I mean, you got the number one player in the world, too. I mean, one of the most photographed celebrity-type guys in the world, even though he doesn't try to be one, Lionel Messi. Everybody wants to know where he is, what he's doing. But you also have a team that's here for a couple of days that are serious about doing some preparation under the manager, Tata Martino. So spectacular moment for everybody. Spectacular moment to show the ascension of the pro game in Houston. There have been, you know, professional games done by promoters all the way back into the 70s, 80s, games that I've played in, you know, in front of a couple thousand people with teams from Mexico or England. And here you are now, and you got the number one player in the world in Lionel Messi here. It's just been an unbelievable rise for the game in Houston, and it's been powered by a lot of people, too. A lot of people behind the scenes that nobody knows about.
Another great thing with them coming, they get to see the Dynamo practice facilities. The coaches, I guess, were complimentary of the facilities at Houston Sports Park, and we're going to try to talk to them this week. But on top of that, Lionel Messi met Carly Lloyd yesterday, and I thought it was cool. The Twitter account for Argentina tweeted the picture. So it wasn't just Carly who was excited, but I think Argentina, with their big following, they tweeted pictures of Messi meeting the opposite number 10 from the U.S. women's national team.
Well, that just goes to show you the reach of what Carly did in the World Cup final. You know, scored 3 goals in 16 minutes in the World Cup final. Lionel can't say he's done that yet. Not to say he won't one day, but he hasn't done that yet. But look, again, it's the eyeballs, it's the connection. The city of Houston gets this tremendous attention because Argentina and Lionel Messi and Sergio Aguero and this incredible footballing nation representative national team is here. So there's just so much that goes on for the city if you really begin to dig into it, let alone just their presence there to play a match in such a beautiful facility, which, you know, if not for AEG and professional soccer and the Houston Dynamo, you don't have a soccer-specific stadium in downtown Houston, Texas.
Glenn, lots to talk about. We'll let you go wherever you want on this one. There's a lot going on, transfer market, European leagues, MLS. Anything that's really caught your eye over the last few days in the world of football?
Yeah, I think one for me that I think will resonate with a lot of people in Houston is Chicharito Hernandez going to play in the Bundesliga. And, you know, I love this player. I love that he has this innate skill of movement and timing and knowing where a ball is ultimately going to be. I also realize that it takes a specific sort of team for him to be, you know, to kind of bring out the best of that movement. So if he's got good wide play in Germany, where he's going, I think it's going to be a boon for him. But I'm fascinated to watch him in the German league. Different culture, different playing style, a league now that we see on television regularly. And it's fascinating, I think, for us as fans now to watch the German Bundesliga on Fox, which is, you know, opposite catching Premier League games. And I think fans are going to really begin to start doing their homework on these German teams because of the exposure that they're going to get now and the crowds. But I love the Chicharito to Germany in the Bundesliga. I think this is a great move for him. I'm also interested to see how the whole David De Gea saga plays out. But I can't stand the fact that transfer windows are open and all this, you know, negotiating and everything's going on with players while coaches are trying to build teams. I just think it's kind of insanity. It's silly.
Yeah, I'm excited about Chicharito, too. If only because will bring a lot more North American eyeballs to the Bundesliga. We've already seen him with the Fox, their coverage, but I think a lot more people will watch German games now.
Yeah, and listen, it's been kind of buried on Gold TV. I mean, I don't even get Gold TV, so I think that in itself and some of these other stars that people are going to see, I think it's going to be pretty spectacular. I'm watching the whole thing with John Stones and Everton and Chelsea trying to get a center back, and Chelsea's 8 points behind now and may have sort of miscalculated it a little bit here this year. But, you know, each and every week there's more than enough things to sink our teeth into, that's for sure. And we're fortunate we got pro teams here in Houston, Texas.
What do you think of the whole De Gea saga? I understand in principle why it's such a big story. It's Real Madrid, it's Manchester United, it's he said, she said, but isn't it at the end of the day a goalkeeper transferring to Real Madrid when at the end of the day a goalkeeper is not going to decide if they win the Champions League?
Well, I think that's why there is a bit of a struggle because it is a goalkeeper that can win you games. And I think when he first came into the Premier League, I think there was some, you know, you saw how young he was. Manchester United elected to go with him, put up with some of the you know, the errors in judgment that were going to happen with any young player. I think we saw what was an incredibly capable shot stopper in the beginning. Fantastic in that category. I think we also saw that there was some hesitancy off his line and probably hadn't been put in as many of those situations playing in La Liga. So then we saw him blossom in that area of the game. So, I mean, it's a goalkeeper that can clearly win you points, win you games. And as you know, good goalkeeping can mask a lot of deficiency. I'm only going to take you back to a couple years ago when Tally Hall put the Houston Dynamo on his back. If not for Tally Hall, the Dynamo don't see the playoffs that year. I know people won't agree with me, but that's fact in my mind. Tally Hall won the Dynamo 12 points that year.
I agree.
Because of his individual performances.
Here's another one for you, Glenn. I love the Premier League. I think it's well-marketed. It's competitive. But I do think they have to overcome some sort of forward, striker, attacking-minded player disadvantage to La Liga if they really want to win the Champions League anytime soon. I mean, we look at what signings are celebrated. Pedro is a nice player. He was a bench player at Barcelona, but he is looked at as one of the biggest coups of this signing period. Alexis Sanchez, very nice player for Barcelona, but in the current setup would not start. What does the Premier League have to do to start getting the AA-plus listers, the Messis, the Ronaldos, the Suarez, the Neymars, to go there and or stay there? Because for me, until the top four or five players play on those English teams, it's going to be hard for them to consistently beat the Spanish teams in the Champions League.
Well, two things. You're a marketing genius, as I know already, okay? You're in marketing and promotion as well in your own individual way. When you're Chelsea and you haven't made any big signings and you're losing points, you're going to blow Pedro out of the water and make him look like he's the next coming of Jesus, right?
Yep.
Okay, so that in itself is part of the game. You know, the teams make moves to grab back momentum, to grab back their fan base. You know, people can argue about all kinds of different signings. They could do the same with the Dynamo over the years. You know, there were fans going when DeMarcus Beasley came, wow, is this just a move to, you know, sort of try to get us excited because maybe we didn't get another specific player that we hoped for. I think that has to always be taken into consideration if you're running a pro club. Now, look, this is a man who played in four World Cups. So you know you're getting a great soccer player. But when people say, well, as a designated player, why aren't we putting that into a goal-scoring position or somebody who can potentially win this game making plays? That's a fair, legitimate argument. But it spurs great discussion. I'm glad DeMarcus Beasley's here. He still is an amazing athlete and player at this point. But I don't think there's any question that, you know, when it comes to getting the top-class strikers in the world, you're going to have to outbid people, and you're going to have to outbid the Real Madrids and the Barcelonas of the world if you're going to take those players.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just think at some point the Premier League, you know, the fans need to demand more. There has to be a sea change because right now – that the creme de la creme is just not going, you know?
Listen, Matt, you also got to remember, too, that the Premier League, because it's always called the greatest league in the world, that gets spawned off into a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that think because arguably it's the best league in the world, that means the English national team is expected to be that way, too. And that's the two things are completely separate. I think lack of Champions League success is a little bit more about not adapting to the playing styles of other countries. I think in some ways you can look at that and say there's been some tactical acumen that's been missing against foreign competition. Now, that can be all blown out of the water if somebody turns around and wins it this year. But Manchester City's already been grouped in a sort of a difficult group. They haven't had Champions League success. So my eyes are on them and the English teams to see how they navigate it this year.
Glenn Davis, our guest. Glenn, let's shift gears to the U.S. national team. An interesting camp, Peru and Brazil on the horizon. And then just about 7 weeks from now, or less than that, October 10th, USA versus Mexico, a spot in the Confederations Cup on the line. DeMarcus Beasley told me this is the biggest game against Mexico since 2002 in Japan. Some veterans coming back. Tim Howard's back, Jeff Cameron, Matt Beasler, Jermaine Jones. How much of a blend do you think come October 10th, and a lot will depend on these two friendlies, but how much experience do you think Jurgen will go with against Mexico based off what you've seen from this roster?
More experienced, battle-hardened guys in that situation. less experimentation. I don't think there's any question. And guys that are in good playing form. Those to me will be the real criteria for him. There's a lot at stake with it because especially if you're the United States, who over the years I've been very sad that they haven't competed in the Copa America and figured a way out to gather that experience for our players. So if we're bypassing the Copa America, then you darn better win the Gold Cup and get into the Confederation Cup. You know, there's financial incentives and all this stuff as well. Confederation Cup pays out real money. But, you know, I've always thought that we should hold up the Brazils, the Argentinas, you know, South America as, you know, our measuring stick. And how do we get more games against that competition in, you know, less than friendly type situations, you know, and that's Copa America. So to me, simply, yeah, it's a big game. They got to win it. They got to get to the Confederations Cup. If they don't, I think there's going to be tremendous criticism if it doesn't happen.
Speaking of criticism, the U.S. Women's National Team, they're on their victory tour. There's a lot of balance with the victory tour and preparing for next year's Olympics. How do you think Jill Ellis should approach sort of moving on from a championship squad to the realities of trimming down to an 18-man roster for next February and the Olympic qualifying and then finally the Olympic roster?
Well, and, you know, what's going to happen with Abby Wambach? Is she going to be phased out? You know, that's another thing. Or, you know, is the power of Abby keeping her around? Is there still a role for her on this team? Certainly she's a great leader, but, you know, like you said, when you narrow it down to 18 players, you're going to have to be very selective about where you pick people, where your resiliency is. I mean, I don't think there's any question. And, you know, again, it's another high-profile event. I have two of these victory tour games that fall on TV for ESPN, which I'm looking forward to, in Seattle and Alabama. And I think we may begin to start to subtly see a few things begin to happen here in the future. But, you know, before you know it, you're going to be into Olympic qualifying, which, of course, BBVA Compass Stadium, not the U.S., but is going to be hosting. So it's all right around the corner. There's really no rest for the weary. But we've been conditioned as a women's soccer fan in this country to the big events, and I hope it's going to spill over more to the NWSL and the support for local teams like the Dash here in Houston.
Yeah, the Dash did very well at the end of the season in terms of attendance and a good win on Sunday. Well, Glenn, we'll have to let you go. We got a lot of guests tonight. Want to make sure we save space for them, but enjoy your time back east and enjoy the college game. Yeah, Princeton against whom on Thursday?
Princeton, Rutgers, by the way, and that's where Carly Lloyd played her college soccer. There's a big billboard here on the freeway here in New Jersey with Carly Lloyd and Rutgers University soccer on it, so it's pretty fascinating. Carly's reach is everywhere, but going to be a great show for you tonight. Thank you very much again for hosting it. And again, I just want to put a quick plug in here for all our sponsors, Liberty Kitchen, Daspit Law Firm, Amigo Energy, 7-Up, Bud Light, Gorgeous Gale, Bar Munich, Liberty Kitchen, and Oysterette. We really do appreciate all the great support and Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. And you, the fans, you know, if you're thinking of buying furniture, going to a restaurant, you know, sometimes it's good to think about the ones that are putting their money behind the game of soccer. Thanks, Matt.
Absolutely, Glenn. That's Glenn Davis. And, Glenn, thanks again for the opportunity to host. Yeah, thanks to Glenn. August is here, and that means Texas summer is in full swing. Actually, September 1 today. And you probably tried the energy-saving tip about raising the temperature on your thermostat when you leave the house, only to arrive in the evening and have to sit in a hot home. Well, Amigo Energy has a solution to that with our featured program of the month, Nights Free. Sign up for Nights Free. You won't be charged for energy between 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. That's right. Turn your AC way down low. After 9 p.m., you'll enjoy a nice, cool summer night. For details and to sign up, go to AmigoEnergy.com/SoccerMatters and look up Nights Free, a cool way to enjoy Texas summer nights. BJ, we know you've been holding. We'll take a short break. We'll come back. We'll get you on before Steve Davis with you till 9 o'clock. This is Soccer Matters.
ESPN 97.5. I was blind. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back with you till 9 o'clock. 7 Up. It is great solo or as a mixer. Enjoy the crisp, clean taste of 7 Up. 7 Up delivers more of the natural lemon-lime flavor you love with no caffeine and 100% natural flavor. 7 Up is always refreshing. Don't forget 7 Up 10, which has the full flavor of 7 Up with only 10 calories. Finally, the perfect 10. BJ, you've been holding a long time. Welcome to Soccer Matters. Are you
Hello.
There? Hey, BJ, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you. No big deal. I have a long commute home, so no mind waiting.
Okay, great. What's on your mind?
Argentina's in town. I'm a big fan. My wife, for my birthday, got me a couple tickets for the game on Friday, so looking forward to it. But you said they were practicing in town here, and I just wanted to know if those were open to the public.
Nothing that I know is open. They've been practicing in the evenings at Houston Sports Park, the same practice facilities the Houston Dynamo. Media has been allowed on maybe every other day for 15 minutes or so. You can kind of see the bus getting off. You can see the guys walking off the bus, but you can't really watch practice. But if you want to go out there tomorrow night, I think probably around 5:30, they might be training. They announced on their Twitter, if you check out Selección Argentina, I don't know the exact handle, but they announced on Twitter when they're practicing. So you can keep an eye on that tomorrow.
Okay, that'll work. I can look into it. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, BJ. Appreciate your support. All right, let's go now to Steve Davis, longtime soccer writer, many outlets, and now he's a featured writer at FCDallas.com. It shows how much we respect him. We bring him on Dynamo All Access all the time in Soccer Matters. Steve, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Matt. I also write for World Soccer Talk, if that helps keep some of the Dynamo fans at bay there.
Absolutely. It seems like every time we have you on, there's so much going on. That's one of the great things we love. So we'll let you take it any direction you want. The transfer window, MLS, U.S.-Mexico, U.S.-Brazil. Where do you want to go with it to start?
Oh, gosh. It's like standing at the buffet, isn't it? I don't know where to start. I don't know. What have you guys I haven't been able to listen in so far. What have you guys been talking about?
Well, we talked a little about everything. Let's start with transfer day because, you know, that is today. And any takeaways from that? One of mine is that, you know, it's so funny how these teams, some go all in, like Manchester City. Arsenal didn't really do anything. I still find it kind of funny that all this drama about a goalkeeper changing teams when, I don't know, no disrespect to goalkeepers. I don't think the last team, you know, the last time you looked at a team and said they're the league winner or the champions winner because of goalie. So I think this window has been kind of funny, but what have your takeaways been?
Well, yeah, the David De Gea thing, it just didn't look – a couple of really big clubs that should do their business, you know, a little bit better than that. It didn't really make anybody look good, and it creates some awkward situations. Now David De Gea has to go back to Manchester United. I don't know what – you know, how the conversations are going to go there. So that was – that was just a little bit of a mess. One that I kind of had my eye on that I like, I was thinking about this a little bit just last week. I was thinking about Javier Hernandez and you know, Chicharito, and you know we've heard about this guy in this part of the world, and you know, everybody was so excited 5 years ago. It was 2010 when he went from being, you know, the local kid, done well down at Chivas, and went to the big world at Old Trafford, and Sir Alex Ferguson went down there and recognized Mexican soccer and recognized Chicharito's his talents and takes him in there to Old Trafford. And, you know, and I just was thinking last week, is this it for him? Is he just going to kind of be the guy that, like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, there for a while, who just comes off the bench? And is this it? Is this what his career is going to be defined as? And so we see now that he goes to Bayer Leverkusen, and I just think it's great. I'm sorry that things didn't work out quite the way he wanted in Manchester United. I think he's a beloved figure there, for, you know, even though he was never really seen as, you know, maybe a top quality player, but he scored some important goals off the bench. But he's only played like 16 league games in the last 3 years. Once they got Robin Van Persie, and now he's just not in Van Gaal's plan. So anyway, I was just really happy to look at that one and see that maybe he can go to Bayer Leverkusen and be an important figure again, and a, you know, figure that really matters again.
What do you think of? I don't know. I'm not trying to be harsh here. And I agree with all that on Chicharito. I think it's a great move, great for the Mexican national team. I think what's funny is, you know, the English Premier League says they're the best league in the world, and, you know, there's big money being flown around. But I also think there's almost too low of a standard set on the transfers. I mean, Pedro's a nice player, but he came off the bench at Barcelona, very good bench player. I would take him in my team anytime. But Chelsea signed him, and he's kind of viewed as maybe the big coup of this winter. Last year it was Alexis Sanchez, again, a very nice player, but not a starter at Barcelona. So for these teams that the end goal is to beat Barcelona and Real Madrid in the Champions League, I think it's something a bit surprising to me that the accepted big ticket purchases aren't these big names. And I know getting a Messi, Ronaldo, Suarez, Neymar is easier said than done, but I think at some point that's what's going to have to be done to win the Champions League on a consistent basis.
Well, what a great point. I mean, that's a fantastic point you just made, that their end goal here is to be the team that can beat Barcelona or Real Madrid or maybe a Bayern Munich, but yet they're taking these guys who aren't really quite, who are almost, you hate to call them surplus. I also think that what happens is that the Premier League, there is so much money to spend that I think it's just pressure to spend it, right?
Yep.
And we see a situation like Arsenal where they don't spend, and they just get the heck beat out of them annually this time of year because they didn't go spend. So, and also I think you take a guy, a Pedro, somebody like that, and I think there's a fear that, well, what if Manchester United buys him and he ends up being this fantastic character there? Maybe we should do that instead and not let them do it. So I think sometimes it almost seems like a United is doing it so City won't, or City is doing it so Chelsea won't, or maybe Chelsea is doing it so none of them will. If that makes any sense, it is a strange world over there. But I think it's like anything else in life, Matt. You know, when you get money, you just find ways to spend it, whether you need that stuff or not, don't you?
Absolutely. Let's shift gears to MLS. Dallas kind of slumping a little bit. I think the Western Conference race is wide open. We'll talk to Ryan Dunseth in a bit. And I think apart from Vancouver and LA, who look like pretty much locks for the playoffs, it's, six or seven teams fighting for the final four spots. Do you agree with that? And what do you think of Dallas over these final 2 months?
Yeah, you start with the playoff system, and I've been on the record, Matt, as saying I wasn't in favor of going with a sixth team. I think 10 teams, if 10 or 20 make it, I think that that might even be too many. But okay, if you want to say half the field makes it, okay, that's fine. But the league leaders decided they wanted the sixth team. The goal, and I know this is what it was, and then a couple of the owners told me, they want to create these playoff races. They want everybody to be in it as we sit here, August moving into September, and of course the season goes in October. So even though I wasn't really in favor of it, I have to say, here we sit and it's mission accomplished, isn't it? Because of what you just said a couple of weeks ago, and I'm sorry this is going to hit Dynamo fans a little hard, but a couple of weeks ago everybody looked at Colorado and said, well, Pablo Mastroianni is going to be the first coach fired, and I can make the playoffs again. Well, they came up with it was a couple of wins, including one that I know some odd circumstances around that with the handballs and what have you, but they get a win, they get another one over the weekend, and all of a sudden you look at Colorado and say, well, heck, they can make the playoffs. Houston, it's going to be tough, but if they get the points, they're playing teams in the West. I've seen their schedule, and they get a well-placed win here and there over a couple of these teams that they're chasing, and then you say, well, now we're in mid-September, and Houston's still in it. So it is absolutely wide open. You look at the East, and you say, it kind of looks like they've separated a little bit, teams that are probably going to make the playoffs and teams that probably aren't going to make the playoffs. So maybe the race isn't going to be quite so exciting there. But even there, this year everybody wants to get into those top two spots. So I was a naysayer, but I'm as excited as anybody else now as we come down to the last few weeks and just to watch how these races unfold.
Argentina against Bolivia here in Houston on Friday. Then Argentina, Mexico, there's been so much hype. Argentina, Bolivia, we haven't even talked about Argentina, Mexico. What's the city, what's the Metroplex talking about in terms of Argentina, Mexico? Are they pretty excited about this one?
Man, you know, I got to be real honest with you here. When these friendlies come around, I tend to pay attention as they move in and out of town, and if I can go out and get something at one of the workouts. But just as you started off this conversation saying, there's so much going on, and I make my living mostly writing about domestic soccer, whether that's MLS or the U.S. national team. And so I feel like, you know, I'm doing everything I can to keep up as well as I can and you know, to make, you know, whatever phone calls I can and then, you know, go see people. And I feel like I'm doing everything I can to keep up with all the great stuff going on with just domestic soccer. You know, the friendlies, Argentina and Mexico, what a great event that's going to be. And look, as we sit here and talk about it, I'm thinking, shoot, I've got to see who I need to contact by getting the credential about that, because I just haven't been able to think about it.
Okay, one more for you before we hit the top of the hour break. I got to ask you, you go either direction on this. You want to talk about Frank Klopas and the revolving door in Montreal, or Jason Kreis speaking outwardly against some big players in New York? Your pick for the last question.
Boy, I tell you what, the situation in New York is fascinating. Talk about a team that's not going to make the playoffs, probably not, but it's really fascinating, isn't it? Because and the question is, you'd almost have to start the conversation here, and I'm not going to have an answer, I'll tell you right now, but who made the personnel decisions at New York? Because the roster is a fiasco, and people like me were, and probably you, we looked at it at the beginning of the year and we thought, well, the back line just isn't good enough. You know, they might score some goals, maybe they will, maybe they won't, but they're definitely going to get too many goals scored on them, and on a small field, there's going to be a lot of chances. You need center backs that, you know, that know how to handle a lot of balls coming through there, and they didn't have it. You know, I have a feeling that Jason Kreis. I have a feeling that Jason didn't really put together this roster, but then again, some people at Real Salt Lake will tell you, no, Jason Kreis had a hand in every personnel decision at Salt Lake. So, you know, was it Claudio Reyna? Here was a guy who never really put together a team before. He's been asked to do it. Was it the money men above his head, this nebulous kind of city football group, whatever that is, and you know, that kind of provides cover, so nobody ever is accountable for a decision. So, man, I'm 100. I feel bad for Frank Klopas to answer your question, but I'm 100% fascinated with how all this is going to unfold at around Yankee Stadium.
I like it, though. I like how refreshing it is to see a manager speak up. I think so many managers don't, and I think it's good for the league for managers to speak out. It's a storyline. We're talking about it now, 4 days later, in Middle America, not Middle America, but here in Houston, because he spoke out against his players.
And well, you know, and you know, to be fair with Jason, he didn't speak out. Yes, you're right, he did. But he didn't really speak out so much against the player. What Jason did was he spoke to his passion.
Yep.
And he spoke to the fans' passion and to the guys in the locker room, and I know he's got some there, that to their passion. And basically he was speaking to the bigger enterprise here, and probably speaking to his owners too, Matt, saying, you know, you got to get us players that want to be here. And you know, and I know we think only Jason Kreis knows, but we think that's mostly aimed at Frank Lampard. Hard, you know, and by the way, put the stroke of 60 minutes. It looked like, okay, well, let's plan for 60 minutes. At the stroke of 60 minutes, he was off the field. And you have to say, some of these guys that have come in and they played in England all their lives, in the case of Steven Gerrard, who I think is doing fine at LA, but he's played at one place his whole life. You know, can they really come in? And I was asking this question in the preseason. Can they come in and really commit their heart and soul? I don't think it makes them a bad guy if they come in and they say, gee, I just don't know if I have the energy. If you change jobs today, if I change jobs today, it takes a lot of energy to go learn the politics, learn where the bathrooms are in the office. It takes a lot of energy. And I don't really blame some of these guys. The tail end of their career, if they come here and they say, well, man, this is a tough league. There's a lot of travel. It's hot. I just don't know if it's in me. So maybe it just never was in Frank Lampard. And I think that's what Jason Kreis was saying to everybody. We got to figure out who wants to be here. And if not, let's just, you know, let's amicably part ways and say goodbye and shake hands and, you know, have a donut and then call it a day.
Well, Steve, thanks a lot. We're up against a heartbreak. Appreciate your time. Thanks for all your insight,
you got
as
it,
always.
Matt.
That's Steve Davis. We'll take a break. We come back. More of Soccer Matters with you until 9 o'clock.
ESPN 97.5.